Welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday the 19th of January 2025. We read from the book of Corinthians in starting 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to be reading verse 28 to 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 to 31. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Help us to rightly divide it, to understand it in context, to be blessed by it, but more than that, motivated by it, to move in the right direction with our lives. Thank you that you have a great calling on every single life. All those within the sound of my voice must know that you have a plan for us. And help us, Lord, to find out that plan, to move with it, and to be blessed greatly as we live on this earth. We ask all these wonderful things in the mighty name of Yeshua. We have been talking about you and I finding our place in the body of Christ. And as I've said so many times, before we can actually do that, we need to have some understanding. We need to know, first of all, what the needs are that the body of Christ has. As we've been saying all along, you and I will only be blessed as we are a blessing. We were designed, empowered, gifted, equipped. Whatever you want to call it, we were placed on this earth to meet a need. And yes, every one of us has got a specific call on our lives. But once again, as we've been trying to emphasize, that call will always take place in the greater picture. And so we've been trying to paint this greater picture all along. And we need to go a bit further with what we have been talking about thus far. We have been stressing the five, as I called them originally, mighty pillars in the church, spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4. These great pillars can be seen as the great needs that the church has. These functions have got to be satisfied for the church to grow. We have to understand them and work with them and be a part of them. As we have been saying, we, as we come into the kingdom of heaven, the process should be one of being reached by these and equipped by these functions, established by them, and ultimately being part of them. It's a process. Now, we spoke about the five pillars, and we have been emphasizing Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And now we read this scripture in Corinthians, which speaks about apostles, prophets, teachers, and then it goes on to some other things, miracles, healings, etc., etc. And at first blush, this might seem a bit confusing. Does Paul not know what he is talking about? The one scripture follows a certain line, the other one starts off in that line but seems to get sidetracked. I put this question to the Lord, and the answer I got, which I'm going to suggest here, not in any way implying that this is the final answer, but what makes a lot of sense to me and which I have a great peace about. We have to understand that the book of Corinthians was written a long time before Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians. There's almost a 10-year gap. And the implication is that what Paul was teaching was actually at that stage still evolving. He was learning about this new covenant, this new church, this new organization, as it were, that God had placed on the earth. And he was learning from the basis of what he already knew in the old scriptures that he had, but also as he experienced certain things evolving. He, of course, was himself operating apostolically, and he understood that, you see. He had seen the operation of prophets, he knew the need for teaching, and then he saw a whole lot of other things happening in the church. Healings, the need for governments, diversities of tongues, and, as it were, the process of learning how all of these worked in the local church. Years later, in prison, writing to the church in Ephesus, and, as we understand, the surrounding churches, because the letter was sent to many churches, we see that Paul is now, in a way, standing outside of the nitty-gritty of church life, realizing the essentials that must be there. So in a sense, as we've been saying, the fivefold ministry, they form, as it were, the theoretical backbone, the skeleton, as it were. And that skeleton needs to be complemented with other aspects of church life and church growth. Now that might seem rather academic, but it has great significance for what we are talking about here. God help us to understand this in his mighty name. We realize that you and I have a calling, and as I've been saying, it's important to know what's out there. We've been talking about these five ministries, the ministry of the apostle primarily, the one who sets up, the prophets who give direction, the evangelists who go out and reach more people, the pastors who take care of the people, and the teachers that are needed as well. But you see, these are the bare bones. Now, what this scripture implies, if we look at them both together, the implication is that, yes, there are these five main structures, but they need help. To operate properly, they must be supported. The title of this message is The Power of Collaboration. The Power of Collaboration. We notice there he speaks about, apart from the miracles and the healings, things like helps, things like governments. What is a help? What is a government? Well, you see, these are all the things that have to be operating for the whole thing to work. I've mentioned before that an army, although it has soldiers out there in the field, to actually succeed, those soldiers must be backed up. The strength of their backup will actually determine whether they will have victory or not. And some analysts have suggested that for one soldier in the field, I think these statistics were taken from the Second World War, for one soldier in the field, there are at least 10 people back home that are busy supporting them. The point is that that soldier will not be able to fight if he is not supported. Going now to this whole process of the church growing, those five ministries, as it were, operating in our midst and us being part of them, as they develop, they need support. Now, the significance for us here is this. You see, we might have listened to these teachings and known that, yes, I do have a unction perhaps to be an evangelist, to go out and reach the lost. I have a burden for the lost. But somehow there's a disconnect between reaching the lost and your and my particular gifting. Now, what we need to realize is that with all these fivefold ministries, by far the greatest need is for support, helps, administrations. Administrations, very simply, is what it is. Things have to be organized. You can't have a haphazard collection of thousands of people without any form of organization. You remember when Christ fed the multitudes? Before he fed them, his instruction to the disciples was, let them sit down. All these multitudes of people, these between 6 and 15,000 people, let them all sit down in groups of 50. Once they were seated and in place, then the miracle took place. There had to be some form of organization. Otherwise, it would have been chaos. We were involved with a ministry to a local garbage dump in our area, where a whole lot of people, quite illegally by the way, were living, trying to make a living. Their lives were miserable. And we had a person who we knew was working with these people, trying to bring the gospel there, and we wanted to join him, and we did. On one occasion, somebody donated a whole lot of food, etc., and we were very ignorant of how things worked. The pastor that was running the show wasn't there, so we went off with this bucket full of food, and trying to distribute it almost turned into a food riot. Now, our hearts were good, but you see, we didn't have the necessary understanding. We didn't have proper organization. You try and make hungry people sit down and wait for their mealy meal, and when there's a fear that they won't get, that's impossible. But anyway, the point is, there has to be organization. And you see, some people are particularly gifted in that regard. They have an ability to see how things need to be organized. Now, the mistake is to think that, oh, well, if we just organize everything, everything will be fine. The church doesn't run on organization. As we have been saying, we must have these five ministries. However, at the same time, these five ministries, in a way, must be organized. There must be a framework within which they can operate. You think of somebody sent out to be a missionary, as it were, an evangelist, somewhere in a remote part of the world. They will only succeed if they have support from those who know what they are there for. It's too much to expect the people that they go to immediately look after them. There needs to be a backup, some form of organization. And if they don't have that organization, or that organization is weak, it will affect their ministry. So you see, we have to have these things all together. Now, once again, what is the point? You and I might feel, I love to get people saved. I want to see people saved. But my great gifting is organization. Well, you see, the point is, your job and my job in that situation would be to do what? Get into collaboration with those who have been sent out to reach the lost. Can you see? Use our gift to support them. Every person they get saved will be accredited to our account in heaven one day. It's a team effort. Can you see? You might say, I really want to teach the Word of God, but right now I don't know enough Bible to be able to do it. Well, in the meantime, what can I do? I can use my gift to help somebody. You see, that gift of helps is a very wide term. It covers everything that supports a particular part of the body of Christ. You think of a musician. Now, many would say, oh, well, the musician is like one of the special people. No. That music gift that you and I have is really a gift of helps. Can you see that? It should be supporting. Now, the beauty of this whole setup is if we realize where our heart lies, we know better where to use our musical gift. You see, the presumption is that, well, now a person's gifted musically, that means they must lead the praise and the worship. How many great musicians that this world has produced have got radically saved and have been taken from their position of performing before thousands or hundreds of thousands and put in a position where now they must lead worship? For your information, performing to thousands and leading worship, although music is involved, they are two completely different functions. You see? One has a gift of music, perhaps, but how is it supposed to be used? Well, you see, if we understand fivefold ministry, we might realize that, yes, I have a performance ministry. My job will be to support an evangelist, maybe sing to the crowd to move them before the preaching starts. That's happened successfully on many occasions. I might eventually become a worship leader, but that's another process. What I'm saying is our gift needs to help and not be something all on its own. Many a musician has got saved and thought of himself as a great evangelist immediately. Well, there normally is a preparation process involved. Like I say, singing for performance is completely different from ministry, but that's another story altogether. The point is this, that you see, you and I might have a gift, and we might say, well, how does this fit in with the body of Christ? It's got nothing to do with teaching or preaching or pastoring. Well, that gifting could be very much an essential gift of helps. You think of somebody who has a real desire to fly planes. That's in their bones. They want to fly. Now, what is the option for you if you fly? Must you give that up and become some sort of minister of the gospel somewhere? Well, there's no harm in also being a minister of the gospel. But you see, God wants to use that gifting of yours, the ability to fly, perhaps to do what? Well, you see, ministries need to get to the place where God wants them. Very often in this world, the only way to do that is by flying there. We had a very good friend who was one of these people who really loved to fly. And he ended up being part of a flying organization. And his job was to support and supply missionaries all over the world. You see, his gifting found its place in the body of Christ. But that place wasn't him having to fly somewhere to preach. No, it was flying somebody else somewhere to preach. A ministry of helps. There are so many of these. Without the ministry of helps, the church of God is sabotaged. And too often, many great ministry gifts have been stifled because people with the ministry of helps have been, in a sense, rendered helpless through ignorance. They haven't taken what they have and used it somehow in the right context. And you see, it doesn't mean that you and I are stuck in a particular position forever and a day. We might find it part of our calling to make sure the plumbing in the church works properly. But that doesn't mean that you and I will be just helping with the plumbing works for the rest of our lives. For your information and my information, one of the greatest healing evangelists the world has seen, Smith Wigglesworth, was a plumber to start with. And God raised him up. My point is this. We need to realize that God's church needs help. It needs all the giftings that human beings have. It needs people that can cook, that can cater. Especially if you have a large outreach and you want to feed people. Can you see? It needs ushers, people that meet people at the door, greets people, musicians, people to look after children. All these great needs the body of Christ has as she fulfills her great mission of reaching the lost. And you see, in all of this, there will always be a place for you and I. But we must bear in mind the primary function of the church is to run on the five great pillars. And whatever our gifting is, in some measure, it will either be part of that directly, or, and this might be for a season, it will be an assistance to that. In all of this, remember, because you and I are a ministry of helps, doesn't divorce us from the fivefold process. You think of somebody who might be just driving an evangelist around, that doesn't mean at a petrol stop he can't get the petrol attendant saved. Can you see? These processes develop. In the Old Testament, we see that there were great prophets raised up. We think of Elijah. Now, Elijah had a ministry on the earth, very powerful, but he realized that one day he would be taken up. In the process, what did he do? He had an Elisha, somebody who stuck with him through thick and thin, someone on whom his mantle could fall, as it were. But you see, we need to realize that the description of Elisha to start off with was he washed the hands of Elijah. Can you see that? He washed the hands. What was he? When Elijah was busy changing the nation, etc., he had somebody who was a ministry of helps. We think of Elisha himself. As he ministered, he had a Gehazi. The tragedy is, though, Gehazi proved unfaithful and ran after money, as we know. But you see, the process is one of handing over. And you might say, oh, well, I'm just a ministry of helps. Well, you might be a ministry of helps. You and I might be helping a particular ministry. But realize that by association, the anointing of that ministry will come upon us. Very often, by being a ministry of helps in a particular organization, results in the anointing of that ministry falling upon us. Our heart might be in the pastoral realm as we help pastors to achieve their function. In the process, we might very well absorb that anointing and be better equipped one day to be fine pastors. There is a testing process in all of this. What matters is our heart, you see. And we've had experience of people who really wanted to be great in the kingdom of heaven, and there's no objection to that. But the problem was, you see, they weren't prepared to do what it took in between. And that's why I believe God's placed in the church these ministries, these diversities of giftings, how they should operate. I'm trusting that you and I will pick up where it is God wants us to be, and that we will find our place, as we've been saying, and that we will all grow by helping the body of Christ to grow. Remember, as we are a blessing, that is when we become blessed. I pray that all of us will be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.